You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
And welcome back to Radio Primavera Sound. A few years ago, I knew absolutely nothing about byproducts of lead zinc mining, commonly found throughout northeastern Oklahoma. And now I know a hell of a lot, or some, and that is thanks to Chatpile.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, yes. Rock on.
Welcome, guys. How are you? This is, if I'm not mistaken, your first ever Spanish gig.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
Never been to Spain in general.
Even, love it.
For any reason. So yeah, first time here. So.
How is it treating you? Because I think you came like 2 days ago or so.
Yeah, we've been here for a couple days. It's been great. The weather's been great. And, you know, we're just staying right over here. So it's just, we're just walking around.
And spending a lot of time at the pool.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Because you I was reading earlier, you're younger than me, but you're sort of slightly older. You know, you have lives, you have families, you have these kind of things. Like, is it very weird in a way, like kind of going away on tour for a bit and kind of leaving that all behind?
Yeah, it's the first time for us, really. We went on our first European tour like 6 weeks ago, and we were gone for 4 weeks. It's like the longest any of us have ever been away from home, ever. And yeah, I mean, I'm 42 years old. I've never had the opportunity to, like, you know, sleep in a hotel room for that many days in a row.
Did you like it?
You know, it felt like kind of a vacation for the first 2.5 weeks, and then the last part of it felt very exhausting. But it was still fun.
It's still the best job I've ever had in my life by an extremely large margin.
Oh,
so
agreed,
I'll take the weird stuff.
But. Talking about jobs, it was like April 2024 when you quit your jobs, your day jobs, to become full musicians.
Yeah, it was actually 23 because it was for Roadburn in 2023, and I had wanted to wait a little longer for at least quit my job, but I ran out of vacation at my work, and they were like, you can't go, and I was like, well, I am going, so I had to quit, and it was, you know, kind of crazy, but you know, it's for doing well right now. So
I mean, it's kind of cool that a band on your late 30s, 40s begins to being a full-time band now.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Could you ever imagine that?
We never saw it coming. I mean, we're from Oklahoma City, which for people that don't know, it's, you know, it's a relatively small city in like dead center in the middle of America. And there's not really a whole lot going on there culturally, so to speak. So the idea of starting a little punk rock band, you know, that you just kind of do in your spare time for fun, and then the next thing you know, you're in Spain. You know, it definitely, I don't think any of us ever saw anything like that coming.
So. The day that we decided to do that, I cried, honestly, because I was just like, I can't believe this is happening. Just working in horrible jobs my whole life, and then we get to do something we actually love to do. It's pretty awesome.
How has that changed what you've been doing? Like, obviously, in terms of your music, has it been like a lot easier to write music? Or has it been a bit like weird? It's like, I should be doing something else. A bit of guilt, even. How has it felt?
I don't know. It hasn't really changed anything as far as our workflow, as far as making music. No. We have a little more free time now.
I would say that's like the main thing is that is hard for most people to work on art is that, you know, since at least in our country, you know, art isn't very valued. So there's no like, you know, government grants or anything that you can get. It's like you have to do it in between your work. And so, you know, having free time just to actually work on the stuff and not, you know, not just have to fit it in. Like when we did God's Country, you know, we're having to fit it in after work, and, you know, it took months and months to, cause we self-record and stuff, and we still self-record. And, I mean, it's a really big benefit to be able to just have the time to spend on doing it now, you know, rather than, just having to fit it in when you can. So,
As far as there like being eyes on us, though, because that's something that people ask a lot with the last record, is sort of like, oh, God's Country, you know, was a big deal, you know, did it make writing the follow-up hard, or was it like in your mind? And it was sort of like, nah, we did it exactly the same way we did the last album and didn't really think too much about what people were going to say or think about it, you know. I think the good rule of thumb is like, if you write a piece of music and it makes you feel a certain way, or like you feel proud of it, or like it kicks ass in your heart and mind and all that, then that's the only measure you have to go by, you know? So
talking about the two records, God's Country, I think you've said, is a depression record, and Cool World, an angry one. what are the differences between them?
God's Country is more like, I'm going to kill myself, and Cool World is more like, I'm going to kill you.
That's progress. That's
yeah, yeah.
You being the powers that be, of course. Yeah, not, yeah, not,
or,
you.
Or
not
I am, you, right? Maybe, I am going to get killed, maybe, you know, to rephrase it, yeah.
Well, actually, I was reading, this pleased me greatly, that the album is about the price at which we eat sugar in America, which references Voltaire's Candide.
Mm. One of the best novels of all time.
Can you explain that a bit to someone, the reference?
So in the novel, goodness, I can't remember what country he goes to. It's a French novel. But, you know, Candide is a person, a very naive man that's lived a life of great privilege. And he ends up in a different country, and he wanders upon this very mutilated man who is a slave. And that's what he tells him. He's like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, this is the price at which you eat sugar. And, you know, so that's kind of what that was about, you know, just like, because Candide is all about a guy living in extreme privilege, leaving his home, mm-hmm. and having his mind exploded, you know, basically. And then, you know, I mean, I don't know. Have you read the book before?
A long, long time ago. Yeah.
It's good.
It's great. Yeah. Yeah.
Way ahead of its time.
Yeah. I think, I should have written this down, but I think there was also a reference to Rousseau in a song title, was there? Or a song? I should have written that down.
I Am Dog Now, right?
Oh, I Am Dog Now, yeah, The Social Contract, yeah. Man's born free, and yet everywhere he's in chains, right?
See, I love bands that get into this kind of thing. Recommend us something to read.
How about Beloved by Toni Morrison is a great book, one of my favorite books. I just read Boy's Life by Robert McCammon. That's like from 91 or something. It's kind of a Stephen King-esque novel about growing up in Mississippi in the 60s. I loved it, honestly. It kind of rocked my world. Everyone should check out Boy's Life by Robert McCammon.
Let's check it out.
I just read semi-recently, a few months ago, Ceremony by Leslie Marmon Silko, which is a great Native American novel about this guy who, he's in like a Japanese internment camp at different points, and also he goes back to the reservation. And a lot of this, there was like a wave in like the 70s of Native American literature where they were talking about like their return to the reservations and like getting in touch with like their native heritage and stuff. And there was a big movement of that, James Welch as well. And Reagan was actually recommending some of that stuff to me, and I'm kind of getting into it lately. But that's it's very esoteric. There's not chapter breaks in it or anything, and there's a lot of poetry in it as well. So it's kind of a challenging read just because it's not very, the format is weird, but great book, Ceremony. Yeah.
We have a question on our chat for Regan, especially. You were seen at Sabrina Carpenter gig yesterday.
I was saying what?
You were seen at Sabrina's Carpenter gig yesterday.
Yeah.
By a fan.
Was I?
and he wants to know, how did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I loved it. I was just talking about, she was like, this is my new song, Man Child, which a lot of people are saying is going to be the song of the summer. And she was like, this is the live debut of it. I was like, well, me and Ron were both there. And we were like, I was like, wow, I feel privileged to be seeing this right now. And so we watched half of her set and then walked over and watched half of the Jesus Lizard set. What a festival we're at.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, Stid and I just were at Jesus Lizard the whole time, but yeah.
I was up on the barricade. I like got there early, like was in the front row, right in front of DW Sims. It was amazing.
We'll probably try and catch Chapel tonight, though, I imagine. Yeah. That's tonight, right? She's playing Chapel Row.
Yeah.
But yes, I do love Sabrina Carpenter.
She's great.
We were at Jesus Lizard, too. Yeah, it was amazing.
It was
gig.
So good.
Yeah, and we had them here, too, like 2 hours before the gig.
That's awesome.
I have a question about Jesus Lizard, Jessica, because we were at the gig yesterday. It was absolutely amazing. When you see a band that good, that intense, do you think to yourself, good God, we're going to have to do something pretty good next night?
Oh, that 100%. Was through my mind. It was kind of like a sort of a duality of thoughts for me, because I was sat and watched them and I was like, we really are, in a way, carrying on the spirit of this. I'm not saying that we're doing it as well, but just sort of the, I called it like the math of what's happening on stage. Like, we're very much trying to carry that on. But then the other part of me was like, but we're never, ever going to come close to how good this is.
Oh, yeah.
At least for me. I mean, you know, that like, you know, other people may have their own opinions about us versus them or whatever. But for me, it's like they're just the kings forever. You know, they're incredible.
I asked a friend of mine who is a big fan of yours for a question for you. And he said something that was not even so much a question. Ask them about cars crashing into buildings where they live. What's that about?
That used to be a Twitter thing.
We're not on Twitter anymore. But when we were, I would always retweet anytime a car crashed into a building in Oklahoma City. Which, and it happens multiple times a week. In fact, it's happened so frequently that I've been able to actually, someone will give me a tip and I can drive a block down from where I live. And I've been able to take personally multiple pictures of cars crashed, like that has crashed into a building. So it happens all the time.
Why? I think it's just like...
car culture plus alcohol.
So literally that. There's no public transportation.
The thing to know about Oklahoma City is that it was completely built. It's one of the youngest cities in America, mm-hmm. So it was built after the car had been invented. Ah. So the entire culture of the city, like, you don't walk anywhere. There's no sidewalks. There's no way to be a pedestrian. You have to own a car. So it's kind of a numbers game. The sheer amount of people driving cars mixed with, the amount of people who are drunk off their ass driving.
Because they hate their lives. Because they live in Oklahoma. They are just... driving into a 7-Eleven or whatever, and
yesterday Haven Pedigo released his last album, and it's still not your collaboration. When is it going to be released?
I can't tell you the exact date yet, but if in the fall time, one might expect
time of the jack-o'-lantern. Yes.
Possibly on an eve that is All Hallows.
It's quite a really unexpected collaboration. Where does it come from?
So Hayden moved to Oklahoma City last year. And I ran into him at a show, actually, and he introduced himself, and me and him hit it off like immediately, like just thick as thieves. He's like the coolest guy, and after hanging out with him for a little bit, we like met with him actually at a tiki bar. We sat down and we were like, hey, should we just like work on an album together? We've got like 4 weeks before both of us have to go on tour. And we're like, let's just give it a shot and see what happens. I think originally we were just going to write a song or two.
Yeah. And then it turned into basically a 30-minute record.
Yeah, it turned into a 40-minute record, like, and in physical space too. It's not like an email project. Like, he was coming over to our studio and we were writing this thing every single day.
So we still like recorded it like we normally do, like all, you know, there's overdubs and stuff, but it is like a lot of stuff being played at the same time. There's a couple tracks on there where there's like literally four guitars being played simultaneously and stuff, like all in the room with, you know, mic bleed and all that. But it was really fun to do. We just knocked it all out in December. It was weirdly the easiest writing experience of my entire life.
Easiest
probably.
Record we've ever made. Like, and the people who've heard it, some of them claim it's our best record, which maybe
it's a big departure. But it's a good mix, I think, of the styles. Because I mean, if anyone has heard him and us, like, you know, we're not very similar musically at all. But I don't know. We all like music and have good instincts, I feel. And
I think ultimately that's sort of what like caused us all to hit it off so well, is that like Hayden's an encyclopedia of like music knowledge, and we're all big music nerds too. And so even though our styles are very different, the fact that we had this kind of common knowledge or common language of fandom, you know, it just kind of hit things off for us.
Well, appreciation is a wonderful thing. It makes what is excellent in others belong to us as well. Sort of the Voltaire quote.
Okay. Wow. I thought that was your quote.
I was trying to look one to sort of crowbar in, but I try. I've got to say, so, I mean, from reading quite a lot about you, you do make Oklahoma City sound not great. I mean, is it all right?
Living in 2025 on Earth is not great.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
a silver lining everywhere to everything.
There's stuff to love. There's a lot of stuff to hate, but there's definitely stuff to love. I mean, just like kind of taking this back to what we first started talking about, like, I don't think that we'd be able to like quit our jobs and do this band full time if we lived anywhere else, because living in Oklahoma is incredibly cheap. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of space, which is why like I have basically a recording studio in my backyard. And there's stuff like that you would not be able to do in any other major city in America. And for all the problems in Oklahoma City, for as long as I've lived there and have been alive, there's always been kind of a thriving underground music scene. And, there's always been traveling. You know, the thing to think about Oklahoma City is that the intersections of I-35 and I-40 hit right there. So any touring band going anywhere in America will just by like force be in Oklahoma City. So because of that, we've had great touring bands stop my whole life. Mm-hmm. So if you're a music fan, it's kind of like secretively a wonderful place to live.
That's cool. Before you go, guys, because we have to leave soon, we have a special message for you.
Okay.
Okay.
That someone recorded yesterday.
No way.
And all right. I think we can see it right now.
All right.
If we've given them enough time.
Yeah. That's the video.
Can we do it on a count of three?
Yeah. Okay.
One, two, three.
Chat pile!
Gouge away!
Yeah, we were in a bit of a prank war with them on tour earlier this year. We toured with them and... We were.
They switched our chips, and they like legit got me. I was like talking to somebody and reaching without looking, and I pulled out a chip from the tortilla bag I got, and I had Lay's in my hand, and I was like, "What the fuck?" they legit got me with that gentle prank. It's beautiful.
Well, that's a low-key great prank because it's like you will really be surprised, but it's not bad. It's like yeah, I like
Lay's as well. Or
they. Kind of pre-show ritual, we'll have some Jägermeister, and we were having Fernet, and so one night I had to use a third bottle to do this. It was ridiculous, but I poured their Jäger out into a bottle and filled their Jäger bottle up with Fernet, and then filled our Fernet bottle up with Jäger and switched them so then they would accidentally do shots of Fernet.
That's so fun.
Gentle pranks.
Yes.
So guys, thank you for coming here. It's been an absolute pleasure. And
thank you for
see you at
1:05.
Yeah, 1:05.
Yeah, 1 in the morning.
At Trinan Estates, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.